The story goes that there was once a father who had to go away for a few days and had to leave his family. And he wanted his wife and family to be looked after, so he had a word with his eldest son. "When I'm away," he said, "I want you to think what I normally do around the house, and you do it for me." And he thought as he went away, well, he'll help with the washing up and taking the rubbish out and perhaps some other things. So when he returned, he checked with his wife what his son had done. And the answer wasn't quite what he expected. "Well," she said, "after tea, he took himself into the living room, read the paper, put the football on the television and stayed in there for an hour and a half." We all look to others from the moment we're born, actually, and follow their example, be it for good or for evil. Hold that story in your mind as we look further at our gospel reading. As I've said before, this scripture reading that we've heard today is part of the Sermon on the Mount. In it, Jesus already told those listening to be light shining in the world, to be the salt of the earth. And Israel always believed that they were God's chosen people, and yes, they were. But they were chosen so that through Israel, God could bless all his people. Through a new way of living, God's light and love can be shared and spread to all. This is what Jesus is saying. And it was a real challenge to those chosen people, and it continues to be a real challenge to us as followers of Christ. Because Jesus is offering a new way of justice, a creative, healing, and restoring justice. As I mentioned earlier, the old justice found in the Old Testament was designed to prevent revenge running away with itself. And so Jesus paints these three sort of short sketches of things that people would know about to give people the idea. In the first example that he gives, it's all about vengeance, and I'll just read that verse again. "But what I tell you is this, do not resist those who wrong you. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn and offer him the other one also." To be struck on the cheek in the time of Jesus was really not just a sign of violence, it was a sign of insult as well. For this implied you were inferior. It would be done with the back of the right hand. And it would be perhaps given to a slave, or a child, or even a woman. And our natural reaction, and those people's natural reaction, I'm sure, would be to hit back, perhaps not physically, but in words, prolonging the wrong and the hatred between the two parties. Or if not able to hit back because of your position, then to cower in fear. Offering the other cheek implies, hit me again if you like, but now I'm your equal. And listen to verse 40. If anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, let him have your cloak as well. What Jesus is saying is maybe you're in a law court and a powerful enemy is suing you and wants the shirt off your back. You can't win, so you show him what he's doing. And we have to remember that in that time, people only wore two garments. So if you gave your cloak to him, after giving your tunic, your pursuer would be responsible for your impoverished state. You'd be standing there naked, basically, and loss of human dignity. And that might force him to recognize his violation of you and your equal humanity with him. Now, these examples may seem very much part of another culture, very different from our own. So what have they to do with our world today? Because even today, so many people get locked in a cycle of vengeance. You hear it all the time. I'll get him back. He did this to me, so I'll do something rotten in return. And sadly, this has even crept into some of our places of work. The NHS, where insurance companies sort of feed on people and encourage us to sue, to get our own back when things perhaps haven't gone quite as we expected in medical procedures. Even the language that's used today by politicians and the media and others in our society seems to be a language sometimes of vengeance and humiliation. Christ teaches us a new way of forgiveness and love. He doesn't expect us to just lie down and be walked all over. No, that's not what he's saying. And if you think of Christ's ministry and all the things he went through, he never was. But he also urges us to love our enemies, and that is a really difficult thing. Now, enemies can mean many things, but in its simplest form, it just means people that we don't get on with, people that we don't like. But sometimes, of course, we are challenged in a much deeper way. I'm sure some of you will have read the book The Hiding Place by Corrie ten Boom. I find it a very inspirational book. And if you haven't, it's about a Dutch lady whose family sheltered Jewish people in World War II. And eventually, they were all discovered, and the whole family and those that they had been sheltering were sent to concentration camps. Corrie, because the family was split up, went with her sister Betsy to the Ravensbrück camp. And eventually there, her sister died, mainly because of the ill treatment she had received from the guards. And when Corrie eventually comes out at the end of the war, she finds that the whole of her family, the rest of her family, has died. Nevertheless, she decides that she will go round and give talks about her Christian faith and how it sustained her in that time when she was in Ravensbrück. And then one day, when she was giving a talk, this is what happened. It was at a church service in Munich that I saw him, the former SS man who had stood guard at the shower room door in the processing centre at Ravensbrück. He was the first of our actual jailers that I had seen since that time. And suddenly it was all there. The room of mocking men, the heaps of clothing, and Betsy's pain-blanched face. Afterwards, he came up to me as the church was entering, beaming and bowing. "How grateful I am for your message, Fräulein, to think that, as you say, he has washed my sins away." His hand was thrust out to shake mine, and I, who had preached so often about the people and the need to forgive, kept my hand at my side. Even as the angry, vengeful thoughts boiled through me, I saw the sin of them. Jesus Christ had died for this man. Was I going to ask for more? "Lord Jesus, I pray, forgive me and help me to forgive him." I tried to smile. I struggled with my arm. I could not. I felt nothing. Not the slightest spark of warmth or charity. And so again I breathed a silent prayer. "Jesus, I cannot forgive him. Give me your forgiveness." As I took his hand, the most incredible thing happened. From my shoulder along my arm and through my hand, a current seemed to pass from me to him. Well, into my heart sprang a love for this stranger that almost overwhelmed me. And so I discovered that it is not our forgiveness any more than our goodness that the world's healing hinges on, but on his. When Jesus tells us to love our enemies, he gives, along with the command, the love itself. Corrie needed the presence of Jesus with her to be able to forgive. And thankfully, for most of us, we will never have to face such a dramatic situation. But we all will have times when the choice is either vengeance or hate or just distance or disapproval. In its place, we know from Jesus' teaching we should be putting love, forgiveness, and reconciliation. And then to come to this third story, Jesus tells about going this extra mile. And this reflects the military occupation of that country at the time. Roman soldiers apparently had the right to force civilians to carry their equipment for 1 mile. But the law was quite strict. It forbade them to make it more than that, to ask them to go on more than that. But Jesus is saying, don't fret and think what a nuisance and inconvenience. Go that extra mile. Copy your generous God. And I know there are times, I know for me, when we are asked to go that extra mile and do things and help people which are maybe out of our comfort zone. Maybe forego what we plan for the day and come close to people we might rather keep at arm's length. And I know too that I have at times found excuses not to do something. Maybe because I felt tired or I was unwilling, or maybe just I wanted to avoid any complications and difficulties of that situation or that person's life. And yet I'm sure you, like me, have found that those times when I have actually responded have really been times of true blessing. And so often, when we find ourselves in those situations, we can gain more than we give. Yes, figuratively speaking, we might have had to get our hands dirty. We may even at times experience hurt and rejection. But whatever the outcome of going the extra mile in Christ's name, we know that God was in it with us. We sung those words in our first and our hymn. And when human hearts are breaking under sorrow's iron rod, then we find the selfsame aching deep within the heart of God. Does all of this sound impossible? It's certainly really demanding. And that on one level is how it can seem. But you know, Jesus' teaching isn't just good advice. He did it all himself. And he opened up a new way of being human, the example of his own life. We are moving at this time towards the season of Lent, when we recall the journey of Jesus to Jerusalem and beyond. When at that time, he was mocked, but he didn't respond. He was struck, and he took the pain. Nailed to a cross, and Jesus prayed for his enemies. The Sermon on the Mount is a blueprint for Jesus' own life. And he doesn't ask any more of us than he has done himself. Jesus, God's Son Emmanuel, showing us the face of God. Our God, whose love embraces all the world. We are constantly challenged, but we are too constantly strengthened by the power of the Holy Spirit, God's gift to us, which can fill us and can prompt us and can change us. Amen.